Okay, this morning's scripture reading is quite lengthy. It's John 20, 19 through 31, and it'll be on the screen, or it's also printed in your bulletins. And I've divided it up into three sections because I think it'll be easier to teach that way. But a little review before we get started. Last week was Easter, known as Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And what I want to say is that Jesus Christ died on Friday, and he rose on Sunday. That's why in Christendom we celebrate or worship God on Sunday. Because it's kind of like all year round we have a little Easters. Isn't that neat? So today is Easter 2, or the second Sunday after Easter. Last week we talked about resurrection power. And we said because Jesus Christ died and rose again, that we receive the Holy Spirit and we have resurrection power. And indeed we do. This week I want to talk about resurrection power for peace. For peace. And we'll see how that unwinds as we continue on. But just so you know, if anyone ever says, how come the Jews or Judaism worships on Saturday, and that's their Sabbath, and we worship on Sunday, you can tell them, because Sunday is the day that Christ rose from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Boy, what an awesome time to open up conversation about Jesus, right? And, you know, then you could just go right on and give them the whole bale of hay all at the same time. And God may be working, so that would be awesome. So I want to review a little bit about last week's appearances, because the first thing we're going to talk about is his appearances to his disciples in the first part of today's reading. And last week we were in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, and I want to read those to us again so we can refresh our memories. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are all still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. And of course, those are Paul's words. And today we're going to pick that up where he appears to the apostles. So let's take a look quickly at John, the book of John 20. And we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 23. And I'll be reading from the NRSV version. And as I said, you know, resurrection power is given because of the Holy Spirit was given. And resurrection power for peace could also be said that we have peace because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that peace as well. So let's read those verses. When it was evening on the third day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But I want you to notice a few things about that first part of Scripture that we read together. The first thing is that the disciples were hiding in a house with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Now, when someone says the Jews, they usually are talking about the Jewish people in a very derogatory way. So John says the Jews. You know, not friendly Jews, not the people that were going to be, but to be friendly toward the disciples, but the Jews that had put Jesus on the cross. If you can imagine, the question's just got to be asked. If the doors were locked, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared, where'd he come from? What would happen if you were in a room and a locked door, and you were afraid, and you were hiding out, and all of a sudden, poof, Jesus appeared? You'd go, whoa, Jesus! You know, you'd probably be pretty freaked out, wouldn't you? And Jesus says, peace be with you. Then he shows them their hands. You know, by that time, they're going to be pretty excited that Jesus is alive and he came and he's given them actual proof that he's resurrected from the dead. And then he says a second time, peace be with you. Then he commissions them. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You know, that would be pretty scary for Jesus to come popping in our midst and says, well, I commission you folks, and you guys are going to go out. But the best part is, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that that's why we can go out today? Because when we say that we believe in Jesus Christ, it's as if Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on us. And that not only gives us power, but it gives us peace. Because we know that when we go out, we're not going out in our name, but we're going out in the name of Jesus. And that's where the power and the peace comes from. So he breathed on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it changed the disciples forever. The next time we hear about the disciples being in a house, they're not hiding. The doors aren't locked. So something happened there. Something very important and something very significant happened to the disciples. They were changed. They were changed. They were receiving the power to go out and proclaim the good news. And the good news is that Easter people are changed people. How many of you know that? That we are Easter people and we are changed people? Yeah, we are. The second portion of this scripture that I'd like us to look at, and I'll begin by reading it, then we'll go back and pick out some of the important things I want to talk about, is about Jesus and Thomas. And we're going to be reading verses 24 through 29. But Thomas, who was called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the risen Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in the hands, I put my finger in the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Let me point out a few things that I think are very significant here. In verse 24, Thomas was not with them when Jesus appeared. How many of you would agree that that was probably not the best time for Thomas to be away, right? You know, I don't know, maybe why he wasn't there. Maybe they were going to have supper and they were short on bread. And he went to the store to buy some bread. You know, the nearest 7-Eleven and pick up a loaf of bread. I don't know. But he wasn't there. You know, I used to always be not wanting to miss a day of church on Sunday, right? You know, kind of like Val's here all the time. You know, she, who knows? Maybe a 747 will land out there on Wildcat Road. So Bill doesn't want to miss it. No, that's not why Bill's here. She's here because she wants to be here if God moves and something very significant happens that day, when God might show up in power. Would that surprise all of us? I hope not. because it could happen any Sunday. That's why we're here, because we want to seek God and see Him move in our lives. So that's kind of how it was with Peter. Have you ever seen this, or maybe it was even you? You walked in a room and there was a group of people just laughing and joking and laughing it up. And you walk in and you're listening, you're trying to catch on. You go, ha, you know, you don't get it. And then you say, well, what's going on? And they try to tell you and you still don't get it. Then finally someone will say, oh, you just had to be there. Right? And it was, I can imagine it was kind of like that for Thomas. He come walking back wherever he was. The apostles are slapping each other on the back and high-fiving. And he goes, what's going on? What, you wouldn't believe it, Thomas. But Jesus was here. He said, peace be with you. He commissioned us. And Thomas goes, yeah, you're right. I don't believe you. Unless I see for myself, I'm not going to believe. You know, I can imagine it was kind of like that for Thomas. But what I want to say about Thomas is, and I don't think it's fair, is that Thomas was labeled as what? Doubting Thomas? Or Thomas with the most fear in the world? No, it was Doubting Thomas. You know, and that wasn't not fair. He got a bum deal. I want to say that Thomas got a bum deal. You know, Thomas, in my mind, was a very honest person. He didn't try to kid anybody and say, oh yeah, I was just waiting for Jesus to show up when he did. But because he wasn't sure of what's going on, he was being honest, and he says, well, you know, I'm not so sure I can believe that. He was honest. He was honest. You know, and he said, unless I can put my finger in his side and see his scars, I won't believe. I won't believe. But later on, we learn that Jesus returns. And allow me to read verse 26. A week later, his disciples again were in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side. You know, I wonder if Jesus made that appearance just specially for Thomas. I think he did. And I think every time that each and every one of us come to believe, because he has us in mind. He does. Each and every one of us. Jesus said to Thomas, do not doubt, but believe. And he says that to each and every one of us. Then we learn something more that I think very significant that Thomas learned as well. And he shares with all of Christendom and anyone that would read the Word of God. In verse 28, Thomas answers, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet come to believe. Well, first of all, for Thomas, he declared that Jesus Christ was his Lord and God. If anyone ever says to you that Jesus never said he was God, well, yeah, he did. He said it many times, but here it is being confirmed by Thomas, doubting Thomas. Or I shouldn't say, I'm going to call him Doubting Thomas. Shame on me. But he got stuck with that. I'm so sorry that he did. Jesus was telling us, who have come to believe are blessed, even though they have not seen him. Folks, Jesus makes himself us known to him in many ways. Maybe it's just an impression in our spirits. Maybe he speaks to us audibly. Jesus has been known to speak to people. You know, maybe, just maybe, you've actually seen Jesus. I mean, not anything's possible with God, right? Jesus can come and will come. But he will make himself known to each and every one of us when we come to seek him. He will, in some way, shape, or form, depending on how much proof we need, right? With Thomas had to put his hands in the side and see the scars. For us, it may just be that he'll just speak to our spirits, and we just love him, and we just know that we couldn't have that kind of love without knowing Jesus Christ and believing in him. But Jesus offers a blessing for us today. He says, "Blessed are those who have come to believe and have not seen." What a testimony to faith and to the power of God. John the Baptist, when he was facing his sure death when he was in prison, sent his disciples to Jesus to ask if he was the one. You know, that kind of makes me wonder. You know, John the Baptist baptized Jesus, saw the Spirit of God descend on him in the form of a dove. When Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened and he heard God the Father say, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." And yet, in his time of trial, just before he was put to death, he had a crisis of faith. So he sends his disciples to ask Jesus. And listen, let me read Matthew 11, 2 through 5. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was going, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Jesus didn't get angry and tell John's disciples, "Well, you go tell John, where's your faith?" No, he says, "You go tell John what you see and what you hear." Likewise, he tells Thomas, "See my hands, put your hands on my side." Jesus understands human frailties, and he will do whatever it takes to make himself known to those who seek him. You know, Thomas saw the miracles firsthand, didn't he? And he still doubted. John the Baptist had a form of crisis. Jesus knows us. We can be like Thomas, and we can say, "You know, unless you prove it to me, Lord, I'm not going to believe." We can be that honest with ourselves. And God will make the change, whatever it takes, to give you that faith that you need, because he understands. And lastly, the third part of our scripture is the subtitle for that particular portion is "The Purpose of This Book." And allow me to read that. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name." John understood, through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and wanted to encourage each and every one of us by reading those words, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that he did many miracles. Jesus appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus. And allow me to fill you in on how the story goes. The story goes is these two men are walking along and they're talking to each other, and then bam, Jesus just appears walking alongside of them, right? Gosh, Jesus just has a way of doing that, doesn't he? You know, and I got to say, and this is not in my notes, but isn't that what the Holy Spirit does many times to us? Just bam, the Holy Spirit's there and he's convicting us of something. You know, we have to pay attention to that because it's important, because we might miss a blessing if we don't listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us. But anyways, so Jesus just happens to pop in and he says this to the men there. He says, let me read verses 24 or 26 through 32. It was not necessary. Okay. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they neared the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road and while he was opening the scriptures to us?" I love that. Their hearts were burning. Folks, do your hearts sometimes feel like they're burning? You know, this isn't in the scriptures, but we've been talking about narrative gaps in the scriptures in our small group, and sometimes we can kind of imagine and fill in blanks. But I can imagine as Jesus was breaking the bread, as we're going to do today, we're going to break bread together and have Holy Communion, that maybe they noticed his hands. Hey, I don't know, it's possible. Scripture doesn't say otherwise. But then they realized that while he was even in their presence and he was talking to them, that their hearts were burning. My prayer is that all of our hearts were burned too. That it'll burn with a peace and a joy and power to proclaim the gospel to others. So that we can celebrate our little Easters each Sunday. And meet together. To see where God's going to move and when he's going to move. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship together this little Easter, the second Easter in the Christian calendar. Lord, we just want you to know how much we love you. And we just want you to know, Lord, that when our faith feels weak, that we know that you are there, Lord, to lift us up and to bring us back to you. Lord, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.